Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations standpoint. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
Yama, I'm Bo Spearham and welcome to Let's Talk. I'd like to acknowledge the country on which we are broadcasting from and also to. I would also like to pay my respects to our old people and to everybody who is tuning in around the continent, listening via the National Indigenous Radio Service, NIRS. Also for tuning in via our frequency. It is great to have your company. On the program, I chat with the family. I chat with Gabe, the mother, Sam, the son, and Brooke, the daughter. And actually, when we had the Brisbane Blacks live music festival, I interviewed Gabe, Brooke, and their young son, Noah, about vaccinations and about the whole family getting vaxxed. So what I wanted to do was get some more of the family on to have a chat and a broader conversation around an Aboriginal family here in Brisbane being vaccinated. From the youngest, I think Noah's around 12 years old, to the oldest child, who was 26 years old. And we just have a chat about, you know, what they thought when COVID first happened, to why they made the right decision, or did they make the right decision, why they made that decision to get the COVID jab. And, you know, most of the family got it, you know, when it was available to them early on. And young Noah, the young fella, got his a couple of weeks ago at the pop-up clinic that was at the Brisbane Blacks Live Music Festival. Stay tuned, because when I caught up with his mob, the first thing I said was, who's your mob and where are you from?
I'm Brooke Carson. My mob is Waka Waka Nation and the Cobble Cobble Clan.
Everyone knows me as Sam Carson, but my mob's down Goomeroy and down northern New South Wales, and got connections to Beganbuff through my great-grandfather.
Yeah, Gabe, so I'm their mum. And they've got another sister, Zoe, and younger brother, Noah and Lachlan, as well. So we're...
When the pandemic hit, did you have any concerns around pandemic as well as sort of the vaccine?
When the pandemic hit, I think for a lot of people it was really scary because of the uncertainty. A lot of us had never been through anything like that before, so it was just a lot of change, a lot of not knowing as well, and just adjusting to things. So it was definitely just a scary time, and of course with the whole vaccine as well, like that following it was also just uncertainty until we kind of found out more and it could actually be rolled out and we could be educated on why it was so important and stuff.
You know, with I guess how fast sort of the vaccine came out, but then also with the global pandemic, there came, you know, conspiracies and sort of all this misinformation, disinformation around it as well. Did you fall into the trap of looking at that stuff? And, you know, were you concerned because it was just everywhere?
A little bit, yeah. I think it was really easy to get caught up in some of the talk that was going on out there, what it meant globally. My brother lives overseas and he's in New York, so we also had that side of actually hearing about how awful it was on the ground there and how quickly it was spreading in confined spaces and people getting sick. So, and he's quite bright, so he was sort of a voice of reason when I'd sort of say, well, what about this? And he'd be, no, like he'd give me actual facts and look at the information. So I'd lean on him a little bit, just to sort of get an understanding of what it meant. I think it's really easy to fall into that. There's a lot of talk out there and there's that fear amongst people as well, because we don't actually know what it means. It's generating fear amongst groups as well. And I think, to be fair, there's a big mistrust of government, which is really reasonable. So what we do in our house, or what I tend to do, especially with the younger ones, when they ask questions, because they get caught up on the TikTok rabbit holes and the Facebook and Instagram rabbit holes, is we love Dr. Carl. So I tend to go, well, what would Dr. Carl say? Forget about the government, forget about this, forget about that. What would Dr. Carl say? And so we lean on his advice.
And I think one of the most scariest things about it as well is, how widespread it became through our own community, you know, our own mob was sort of sharing?
A little bit, I think, because it was just a bit like, do we follow the crowd or, you know, of what we know as well, and it's also do we pull them up on it? But we're pretty lucky as well to have people around us that could also help educate us. And he knew a lot as well and could, you know, make their stance more clear and actually help us and give us advice for what to do in those situations too.
Some of yous work in health as well, in that space. Tell us a bit about your work. If you're working in a hospital, you would have had to be vaccinated pretty quickly.
Yeah, so at the start of the year when they started talking about the vaccinations, I was actually working in hotel quarantine as just as a, I guess, a health worker. So I'd help all the nurses and that just as an admin officer, just sitting at the hotel. And, I got vaxxed straight away as soon as I could. I got vaxxed in March. Because they were saying there was already talk back then it's going to become mandatory, so I was a bit hesitant at first, and then I kind of looked more into it. So yeah, I ended up doing it as soon as I could, and I've already got my booster done too. So yeah, there was already talks about it through the hotel quarantine and that, and then coming to the hospital, they made it. There was talks of making it mandatory, and I know a few people that were put on leave because they didn't get it done. I've got a family now and stuff, so, you know, I kind of just had to, I did it for my family too.
It's hard sometimes, eh, to get through to the mob. I'm sort of in the same boat as well. Like, I only just recently had my second vaccine, and it wasn't until some of the mob from IUE come in, had a yarn with us. We got to tell them our concerns about what we were hearing and what we were seeing online as well, and, you know, quickly sort of, you know, brush them and sort of squash that misinformation as well. And, you know, that in itself made us, well, myself and us, a bit more confident to get it. Definitely the first and the second one. And then, yeah, I guess, well, sorry, brother.
Oh, no, I tell them, like, I've known a lot of our mob that got the vaccine now, and, you know, they've been fine, you know, so it's these little stories popping up where, you know, I don't know the full numbers, but it's very rare, you know, you can get sick, you know, or something from it, so.
You know, I guess now one of the younger siblings has got theirs as well. How are you know, feeling in regards of, you know, knowing that the whole family's almost got vaccinated?
I'm proud. I'm really proud of them all. I let all the kids make their own decisions, and they all, as soon as they could, made the decisions. That's why Noah took a little bit longer, because he's a little bit younger. He's 13, and he also doesn't like needles. But for us, it wasn't just a decision to protect ourselves. Sam's got a baby, so my first granny, she's only 5 months old, and so it's not about just protect. We're all healthy, you know, and I think part of that conspiracy talk is I'm healthy, I trust my immune system. I'm healthy, I trust my immune system. But what happens if I get it and I give it to my granny and she ends up in hospital? You know, I had no hesitation getting the whooping cough. I don't know what's in that, because I want to protect her. We've had sorry business over the last 2 years. We've lost our my beautiful mother-in-law there, Nan, two aunties, autoimmune, like they would have been issues. So I would hate to be the person that brought that into the home and made them sick, and then COVID being the reason that we lost them. Next year we'll probably might have to make some hospital visits, because our granny's got my granny, Sammy's baby, she might have to have a few operations. I need to be there with her. Like, I can't rely on Sam to give me information. I need to see her to make sure she's okay. So it's not so much about us. It's as a family, I'm proud that they made a decision to protect themselves, but they're protecting their family, their aunties, you know, the elders in our community, our babies. They're important to us. And we need to make sure that they're as healthy as possible.
And as you mentioned, you know, a lot of our own mob who are sort of not getting it as well, are saying, you know, I'm very confident in my own immune system.
Yeah.
You know, sort of leaving out the fact that, you know, our responsibility, you know, obviously, you know, we have an individual responsibility, but then we're attached to so many people within our community, like you mentioned, our elders, down our newer sort of our family members. And both ends, at some point in time, have low immune systems. And we live in a society where our mob do have, you know, chronic illnesses. And like, I was chatting about this recently as well, and it's ironic that a lot of the mob who are anti-vax are saying, like, oh, it's just, you know, like the common cold. And, you know, we have community members, elders in particular, and, you know, other people who have underlying health issues that pass away from something as you know, as a cold as well. Yeah. So if this is if our mob passed away from a cold isn't as serious, then, you know, a global pandemic that shut down the world, you know, should be seen as something, you know, serious as well. You know, that point about, you know, we're doing it for people other than ourselves as well, you know, should really ring strong, in particular with our mob as well in different parts of this country.
Yeah, I think especially when we think about communities and we have, like, lots of generations living in homes in a lot of our communities, so being young and healthy is great, but if you bring that home and you give it to your nan, like I think about, I say to Brooke all the time, I love what Briggs says, you know, hashtag protect nan. Like, you don't want to bring it home and give it to your nan or your aunties or... It just would be devastating, and that's it. There's all these underlying other health issues and chronic disease that we have to think about, because they play havoc in communities. So,
yeah, that was one of the things that Adrian Carson, the CEO of the Institute for Indigenous Health, mentioned, that we are facing a global pandemic at the moment, but one of our biggest fights that we continue to have are these underlying health issues that we have. You know, there's push from, you know, multiple levels of health to, you know, bridge the gap in between our life expectancy and the broader community as well. And if we're not taking it quite as serious, we could end up, you know, losing more of our own mob than what is happening at the moment. And
yeah.
You
know,
did you want to jump in, brother?
Yeah, like, just going off that, like, my dad, he's still down in Gunnedah. He got his vaccinations. And he said the same thing, like, he still hasn't met his first granddaughter or first grandchild yet.
Oh, bless
and, him. You know, borders just opened up and he's vaxxed, so he's right to come up now. He's just done it for the community, whereas we got, like, mob down there, there's like 50-50, yeah. We got half the mob that are got the vax and half that haven't, you know, so still that little gap.
You know, like, one thing I've always been adamant about is, you know, I mean, I'm not for sort of mandating anything or... You know, it should be, you know, somebody's decision, but, you know, if things get worse, then what can we do as well?
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, like, I just had a thought, like, was thinking too, like, if, like, now that borders are open, you know, you got a chance of catching it now, you know, like, there's a higher risk that it's going to happen. So, like, I know for a lot of people, they come into the hospital, they say they want to get it now because borders are open, they're scared they're going to get it, so... I know the borders open and have changed a lot of people's mind too.
And we're living in a time now where it's going to be here.
Yeah.
You know, Aboriginal communities all over Australia did a great job, you know, when the pandemic first hit Australia. You know, lots of communities, especially remote and rural, you know, self-isolated before any backing from sort of state or federal or territory governments. You know, our mob sort of looked after ourselves and we've done a good job to date as well to continue that. But, you know, we're living in a world now where Melbourne's was one of the highest, the longest lockdown sort of state in the world. Yep. Sydney's been in and out of it recently. And, you know, it's going to come here in Brisbane, you know, and it's sort of, you know, what are we going to do once it's here? You know, do we want to get vax while we have COVID or after we have COVID or, you know,
yeah,
should we get it now and be prepared for sort of whatever comes? You know, it's a tough thing. But, you know, just really quickly as well, for anybody listening as well, and I guess as a family, you know, all of you, do you still live at home, Sam, or nah?
I've recently moved out. I moved out about just before baby was born, so back around May, June, I moved to my partner's house.
Mm.
And, yeah, I live with her and her parents are still there and her parents are in the, like, the old age group. around the 60s. So that was another reason too. You know, I'm at their house too. I want to protect them as well, especially I still feel like, you know, I'm a guest there as well. So that was another reason too.
And like, as a family, you know, that is vaccinated as well, do you sort of have anything that you want to say to any of the mob out there that are listening as well in regards to getting vaxxed and, you know, encouraging sort of community to do that as well? And obviously the different age gaps in between as well, from 12
yeah.
to, you know, I guess Sam's in his
20s.
Yeah. Hey, I'll just say, you know, if you're, there's always going to be a worry. So if you are worried, try not to listen, like, online as much. And, like, we got all the tools to help our mob. You know, you can just go down to the local Aboriginal Medical Service and talk to a nurse, you know, talk to a doctor about it, you know, and then make your decision from there where you have the proper information from. Yeah, that's what I'd like to say about that.
Yeah, pretty much what Sam just said. Like, there's so much more, like, actual proper information out there instead of looking at what pops up on Facebook, the conspiracies and stuff. Like, we have so many people that work hard to provide this information to actually, like, that are the experts. So listen to the experts and not social media, and, you know, actually listen out for what's really going on, and, you know, educate yourself on it.
Yeah, I think following up on what good Sam said, and their sister also, she works like at a bar. So I want her to be protected because people will be coming in and out. And I worry about her actually, people abusing her because she's got no control over whether or not they get vaccinated. And now people turn up without vaccinations. You know, they talk about getting a bit wild and then going off at the staff, and it's not her fault, but she's done something to protect herself. I think that's the thing. It's not just about protecting you. It's about protecting your mob. It's protecting the old people, and about educating yourself. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to spend 7 years at medical school. I can't research. So I trust the people. I think globally you just can't coordinate that many people to create a conspiracy like some of these conspiracies are. It's just, I don't see how that's feasible. So I just think I trust the doctors, and I trust the science, and I believe they're doing the right thing to protect us. I totally get not trusting the government. I think that's a really fair call, but it's not the government I'm following. It's the science, it's the medicine, it's those
a lot
people.
Of it too is like our own mob. They're telling us, like, places like DC and IUE, like, they are, you know, Uncle Adrian and stuff. They're amazing people that are doing all this work to tell us, like, it's not
doing
like
that hard
said,
research. Yeah.
And also the fact that, you know, I think you mentioned next year's like 50 years, I think, of community controlled health services here in Queensland. I think that's 73, it's almost, it's 50 years or 51 years next year. No, sorry, 50 years of, you know, Aboriginal community controlled health services here in Queensland. And we know why they were set up. You know, they were set up because our people were denied access to health services. And the people who wanted to look after us, you know, was our own mob. You know, these were organisations were set up in a time when, you know, Aboriginal people needed self-determination. You know, we needed our own organisations and our own people, you know, to look after us. And, you know, we've had five generations of that, you know, in various different sort of states and territories around the country. And, you know, most of the time we've grown up with these people in our community. So I don't think any of our mob who are from our community who work in these health services are going to be like, yeah, no, I'll just give these fellas an experimental drug and, you know, like, yeah.
Set them up, kind of, yeah. Mm. And it's I find it's really interesting when they're like, oh, you don't know what's in the vaccine. You know, a lot of mobs smoke. They don't know what's in cigarettes. You know, even like vaccinations, like I said before, the whooping cough. I don't know what's in the whooping cough. I had no questions about getting vaccinated against whooping cough because, you know, that's it. You want to protect yourself, but you want to protect those around you. Like, if you really want to look after your mob, it's about protecting them.
Just in sort of wrapping up, do you want to sort of finish off on anything you want to add as well?
Do your own research. Look at the resources that are actually provided for you. There's a lot of resources that are for mob, you know, that's actually made for them. People have put in a lot of hard work for it. So actually educate yourself on the facts.
Yeah, go down, have a yarn to your local AMS and, you know, just talk about it with someone that, you know, a professional in medicine or, you know, knows about it. Not like these, like, online doctors, you know. So go down, have a yarn face-to-face and make a decision from there, you know. It might change your mind and, yeah, protect your mob.
And that was my chat with Gabriel, Sam and Brooke. That's one of many First Nations families here in Southeast Queensland that have been vaccinated as well. So shout out to them and the many other families that have done so as well. And just remember, you know, if you do decide to get vaccinated or you want to have a chat to somebody, you know, the local Aboriginal community health service is there. And I'm sure any other GP out there throughout our Southeast Queensland would do so as well. If you've enjoyed my yarn with these mob, just remember you can catch it on our website and also you can catch the repeat at 7 p.m. tonight here on 98.9 FM. As always, it is a pleasure. Here on Let's Talk and sorry, my throat. And as always, stay tuned to AAA Murray Country.